Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
El Hombre is brought to you by LoanEstimateReview.com.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. I mean, it's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
It happens every Tuesday at 5 o'clock here with Bob, Dave, and more. By the way, the 5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. We bring in the one, the only, El Hombre, Michael Bradley, for a conversation, joining us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Hello, Michael.
What's happening, everybody?
Well, lots of things. Let me update Seahawks fans. I just retweeted this. Quentin Jefferson tweeting out 4 minutes ago, "It's been real, Seattle. Nothing but love." So it appears Quentin Jefferson has a new home somewhere. Haven't seen where yet, but that just came out 4 minutes ago. Michael, have you been devouring this whole free agency period? A lot of moves being made here.
Believe it or not, I've had a lot of work to do, but there's a lot of good stuff going on. I mean, the Eagles have all sorts of things happening. They signed a nose tackle yesterday. They let Malcolm Jenkins go. They're moving a cornerback to safety. They didn't get a cornerback that they so desperately need. You know, the thing that still is mystifying to me is the trade yesterday, that Houston made that trade.
Ridiculous.
And as my son said to me, not only did they get Hopkins, they got a fourth.
Yeah.
They actually convinced Houston to throw a draft pick in there, too.
Well,
I don't know. Bill O'Brien, what's going on?
Well, he's not good at it. I think he's proven that with the Clowney move, with this move.
Yep.
And then you see what happened with Stephon Diggs. I mean, he gets traded to Buffalo for a first rounder, a fifth rounder,
yep,
a sixth rounder, and a fourth rounder next year, and he's not close to being as good as DeAndre is. It makes no sense.
Yeah, this goes back to that 5-for-1 deal that the Vikings made with Dallas, where they took on Herschel Walker and gave up, you know, 1,000 draft choices. It's not quite that bad, but Arizona's getting itself a real weapon.
Hey, Michael, have you ever run across Mike Quick, who does sideline reporting for the Eagles? Yeah.
Wait, he doesn't do sideline reporting. He's in the booth.
He's in the booth. I'm sorry. He's a play-by-play guy, but I always see him down on the sidelines. But, he was telling me this year, and I've kind of gotten to – we've played Philly enough to – I've got a chance to talk to him a few times. But he was telling me about Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod and how those guys were just the heart and soul of that defense, and if everybody was like them – and it seems like Malcolm Jenkins is a really good guy. And I know John Clayton poo-pooed the idea of him coming here, but he's 32 years old. Do you think he's done? Does he want to be done, or does he still want to play?
Oh, he still wants to play. The reason he's out of Philadelphia has nothing to do with his desire to play. It has everything to do with the Eagles' desire not to want to pay him $14 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. He's 32. He wanted more money, and the Eagles are saying, look, we love you. His coverage is not what it was. He's a tremendous leader. He's very versatile. Great blitzer. He can stop the run. He still can do a lot of things, but don't ask him to cover people because he can really hurt you there, meaning the team that he's playing for. So if you want to spend $14 million for leadership and run support and blitzing and that stuff, it's worth it. But if you're going to ask him to step up and cover some people man-to-man, that's going to cause a problem.
Yeah, he's got stats almost like a linebacker. I mean, you know, forced fumbles and those kinds of things, but just supposed to be one of the good guys in the NFL.
No question. He's a great leader. He's one of the best pickups the Eagles have had in the last decade. He did nothing but perform and produce during his time in Philadelphia, but to pay him what he wants right now is not what the Eagles, you know, wanted to do. And here's the other thing about the Eagles. Jim Schwartz's defense runs that wide nine front, and it's predicated entirely on pressure on the quarterback. So they don't put a lot of money into the defensive backfield usually. And now to pay a 32-year-old $14 million a year or even more, and give him a bonus and all that, that's not something the Eagles are going to do.
Hey, Michael, do we get sticker shock every year and just forget that we do? Because, you know, everybody's looking at some of these numbers that are coming out, and, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. I remember we were all dismayed when Russell made $22 million and then it becomes $35. Do we forget that each and every year and go, that's too much for this guy?
You know what? I don't think it is, because here's why. There's a salary cap in football. So you have to make it all work underneath the cap. Now, if you've got a general manager who's giving out a bunch of long-term deals with a lot of, you know, guaranteed money, and the guys underperform and you're stuck with them, Yeah, that's bad. But most of these contracts, other than quarterbacks, have some very team friendly numbers in them. And then when things get a little ugly, they bring the player in and say, "All right, we'll extend you another couple of years, but we're going to have to cut the money down this way and slice it here." And you know, anybody who understands the salary cap is working at a level way above where I am, because I just say, okay, who's on the field? I don't care what they're being paid. In baseball, where you're a little more concerned because of luxury tax and things like that, and the contracts are all guaranteed, you get into some more problems with sticker shock. But in football, I never really care about the payments, because it all has to fit under that one lid.
Michael, Seahawks fans are wondering if Jadeveon Clowney is going to stay here in Seattle. He's probably the best free agent still open out there. And I'm just looking at the headline, though, and I remember the game last year, the playoff game, the helmet-to-helmet hit that knocked Carson Wentz out. And the headline says, Seahawks Jadeveon Clowney says Eagles have worst fans in the world. So I'm just assuming that Philadelphia will not be involved in the bidding war for Clowney.
There's a word I could use to describe him, but it's not practical on a family radio station. I'll just say he's soft. You know what? He hit the guy in the head. It's the starting quarterback. What did he expect? A bouquet? Come on. The Eagles could have won that game if Wentz played. I'm not saying they would have, but they could have. And here's Clowney calling out the Eagles fans because they weren't too pleased with him for hitting a guy, you know, in the head. Please. You know, buddy, I'm tired of this, okay? I'm tired of people getting upset when the fans ride them a little bit. Please. Tough guy. Ooh.
Well, I got in trouble for calling the Philadelphia fans a bunch of drunken idiots on the air. Somebody complained to
We're not
to the
idiots.
Station.
Yeah, you are.
They may be drunk. Definitely. They're not idiots.
Yeah,
no, it's funny. I went to one game this year as a fan. You got to love it. My son has season tickets. I can't afford them, but my son, who's 27, can somehow figure out a way to get in the lower level. So I get in his row. I'm sitting there, and here comes this guy. He's in the aisle, and they call him the get-up guy, because all he does is yell at everybody, "Get up! Get up! We're not sitting down! Get up!" And then he just screams the whole game, thinks the play, you know, he's 150 feet yards from the field, and he thinks the players are going to hear him. But hey, he loves his birds. What I was mystified by, that on a Sunday afternoon, everybody in the place is spending like $300 on beer. I've never seen so much beer consumed anywhere. And I've seen some beer consumed, let me tell you. But holy cow.
Hey, what do you think we're going to see out of Tom Brady? It looks like it's close to being a done deal, him going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So how does this end for him? Is he Peyton Manning with the Broncos, and he finds a way to win a title in the waning years of his career? Or is he Joe Namath with the Rams and Jerry Rice with the Seahawks, and you know, with the guys that were studs at one point in their career, Hall of Famers that we see end on a really sour note?
First off, I don't think pewter is in his color wheel.
Okay.
All right, so that's the first thing. He's going to look really strange in those uniforms. I mean, I could see him in the creamsicle. I get it. But he's not going to look good in that uniform. No, neither did Joe Namath in the Rams, neither did Johnny U. Joe looked okay in the Chiefs. Joe Montana looked okay in the Chiefs, because that's a good-looking outfit. But, you know, it never ends well. He started to decline last year. Now he's got Mike Evans to throw to there, and he's got Bruce Arians, great offensive coach, you know. But he's 40, what, 43?
Yeah.
44? Come on, man. It's just you're asking a lot of him. He's going to a team that is good, and its ceiling, I think, could be very good, but I don't think it's going to, you know, it's not Super Bowl good. He's not the 35-year-old Tom Brady, okay? He's immobile as all get out. I mean, if a defensive lineman gets within 3 feet of him, he just goes down. So I think that this is a nice pickup for Tampa Bay, because it'll generate some excitement. Maybe he plays two more years. I think that's the end, and who knows what's going to happen in 2021. I don't think he's throwing for 4,000 yards and 37 touchdowns this year.
So you're saying there's no chance that, because a home team has never played a Super Bowl in their home stadium, and it's at Raymond James Stadium, the Super Bowl this year. It'd be kind of a cool storybook ending for Tom Brady, going out on top there in Tampa with everybody having a parade and, you know, the cannons going off, but you, El Hombre, you're saying that you don't think that's going to happen.
How many happily ever afters do we get in the NFL?
John Elway.
Peyton Manning.
That's about it. That's about it. But Peyton Manning was, you know, he was carried by a defense. He couldn't do anything that last year. You know, that's nice. That's a couple. But I just don't see Brady doing it. I don't. And this is Tampa Bay. This team isn't that good. And I know that Jameis Winston was an interception machine last year. I mean, 30 for – yeah, he's the new 30 for 30. So I just think that this is, as I said, a good team that can be a very good team. You know, it could win. It could get a wild card spot. I don't think it's better than New Orleans. And I'm not buying that Tom Brady is going to be the guy he was 5 years ago. Here's where you know it's not going to go well. If he shows up to training camp, quote, in the best shape of his life, then you know it's over. Because that always happens with these old guys. They say, I'm in the best shape of my life. It's like, great. It's tremendous. That means you're ready for the decathlon, the Masters decathlon, but not the NFL season.
Well, we were talking about this earlier. I still love looking at that picture of him from the combine. And that's when he was young, you know, the one with his shirt off, and that's the best shape of his life probably right there. That's what he looks like. You know, we're hearing from a few different guys like Damian Woody and Willie McGinnis that, you know, that Belichick grinds you down. I guess I would never picture him as being like a yeller and a screamer, not to Tom Brady especially, but I'm pretty fascinated by this to see, you know, because the question is always, and we get it here, how would Russell do without Pete Carroll, and how would, you know, Brady do without Belichick? I think just for that part of it, it's going to be really interesting.
There's no question about that. I'll say this: a friend of mine got to be in the meeting room of the whole team meeting room for the Patriots about 6-7 years ago before a preseason game.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the Patriots were getting ready to go out, and Belichick came in, and he may do that monotone bit, and he may seem like this guy who's just some sort of automaton. He ramped it up. He got in some people's faces. He had that team ready to go, and yeah, he does go after Tom Brady. That's the one reason why players come and play for him. It's that there's no favorites. Now he grinds you down. Brady was allowed himself to be ground down for 20 years. I think a lot of the reason he stuck around that long, besides the obvious, the unbelievable orgy of wins, is that you had he and Robert Kraft had such a great relationship. And I think that, you know, Belichick yelled at him, but I don't think he yelled at him all the time, because after a while, I think Kraft said to him, you know, what's your problem, Bill? This guy's won 5 or 6 Super Bowls. How can you be? You can't rag on him that much. But I think that their relationship, as I read in Bleacher Report, I think it was Mike Freeman who wrote it today, said, you know, they had a good working relationship. They're not going out to dinner. They're not vacationing together. They're not buddy buddy. They made it work for the sake of the victories.
Well, they're clearly looking for a quarterback now. Who do you think would drive Belichick crazier, Jameis Winston or Cam Newton?
Wow. I think it would be Jameis Winston because of the interceptions and the mistakes. Newton is, you know, he makes the mistakes of effort. Like if he's, you know, if he does something wrong, it's because he's, you know, working a little too hard, trying for an extra yard. Although I think his wardrobe might drive Belichick crazy. But, you know, Winston just gets back there and makes some of the worst decisions I've seen. So I don't think that Belichick could ever get him into a position where he would be able to make good decisions, and that's what would really drive him nuts.
Hey, what did you think of the NFL's decision to keep free agency happening this week? Some people were against it, saying it's not a good look. We're talking about guys making signing multi-million-dollar contracts while the rest of the country is suffering. A lot of people will out of work. Do you think it's a bad look, or do you find it to be more of a reprieve from the reality of what's going on?
It's absolutely a reprieve. I mean, let's face it. If we could have sports right now, and everybody was going to be told stay inside, don't go out, social distance, blah, 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 and you could turn on a set and watch the NCAA tournament and watch the NBA and watch the NHL and watch golf and all that, it'd be a lot easier for people to take this, even if the stock market was falling like a fat dude off the high board, and even if there was a recession coming, and even you could still turn on the set and maybe you downgrade from your microbrew to something that's a little bit more, you know, for the hoi polloi, but you're still going to be able to watch the games. So right now we've got something that's going to be in the sports pages, something that's going to be on the website, something we can follow on Twitter, and that's taking our minds away from the constant, okay, how many more cases? What aren't we allowed to do today? I think it was necessary. And I don't think, by the way, the NFL, let me be clear, the NFL does nothing in an altruistic way. Okay, Roger Goodell didn't say, the people need this. They said, forget it. Any interruption in our business could cost us money. Let's keep going ahead.
All right, so Michael, as an observer of life and psychological phenomena and whatnot, why is there a rush for toilet paper? What? How do you explain that?
Well, let's put it this way. You can get by without beer and wine.
No.
You can...
Wrong.
All right.
False.
Some people can get by without beer and wine. There are you can drink water out of the tap. You can eat beans if they don't have meat. You can, but when it comes time for the launch sequence to be initiated, you need to have something for the cleanup. So everybody's thinking, if I'm going to be in my house for 12, you know, for a month, 2 months, I better have some Charmin squeezably soft to take care of business.
I don't know, man. I tweeted out a video of a pallet being put in the middle of the floor at Costco, and the buzzard circled it like a carcass and started taking multiple packs of like 36 packs. It's like 72 rolls for one person. Thinking, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Well, first of all, what's wrong with your intestinal tract?
I mean, I question their diet,
you need
too.
72. Lighten up on the Taco Bell, right? So maybe you put a little fiber in the diet so you make things work a little bit less expeditiously, okay? Eat a little cheese, right? let's try to stop this flow, right?
But it's just so weird to me because, I mean, it's just like somebody decided that was going to be – you know, I heard a kid the other day was trying to tell me, yeah, I think gas is going to go next. I'm like, are you kidding me? Nobody's going anywhere. Why would it be gas?
Yeah.
It's just.
I got to fill my tank tomorrow. I'm down around a quarter of a tank, so I'm going to fill it up, and it'll probably last me a month. It's like you can't go anywhere. It's not even the little old lady who just drove at the church. You can't go to church now. And the Philadelphia Archdiocese stopped mass. So it's like, where are you going to go? You're going to go to the grocery store. Okay, you're going to go to the pharmacy. You might go to the bank. All that stuff's a short drive away. It's not like you're saying, let's go up and visit Martha up in Bethlehem. You're not going to make a 100-mile drive.
Right.
Well, we've got bars, restaurants, schools, so many things closed here. What's it like there in Philadelphia?
Well, they've closed all the bars and restaurants. You can get takeout service, but that's it. You can't go inside. All the schools are closed. I taught 3 classes remotely today on Zoom, and wonder of wonders, it all worked. I was delighted. And so, you can't go on a campus. You can't do anything. Golf courses or country clubs are closed. Golf courses, you can play golf, but you just got to bring your own bag. You got to carry it, the whole thing like that. So it's right now it's closing in. There's going to be more things that close down. Eventually, people are going to be told, just bunker at home for a couple weeks. Make sure that you're all right. The only things you'll be able to do are go to essential places like grocery store, post office, bank. You can go outside. Good news is here it's starting to get warm. It's going to be 80 on Friday.
What?
It's going to be 80 on Friday here. It's unbelievable, and I got to find something to do outside. I think I'll just sit outside on the and it's getting lighter and you get daylight savings time, so that's a good thing. You can go outside and walk. You can be outside. You have to social distance, but still, not bad.
Well, since you mentioned it was going to be 80 degrees in Philadelphia, well, what do you think about some of these betting sites that are you can gamble on the weather because there's no sports to bet on? These guys came up with, you can bet an over-under on what the high temperature is going to be in Jacksonville and other places like that.
I hope that people don't go to that level to get their bet on. But I have a friend who used to, when he used to bartend, he used to bartend on Sunday nights. They'd close the bar at midnight. He'd get home at 5:00. I said, what the heck were you doing? He said, oh, we were flipping coins for money. They would just bet on whether it's heads or tails.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, there are people out there that will bet on anything. So, evidently, that's what they're going to bet on.
Yeah, the guy that just asked you a question.
Is there something wrong with that?
The guy that just asked you that question is one of those people.
What?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying if people are going to bet on a flip of the coin, they're sure as heck going to try to say what the over-under on the temperature is in Topeka.
Hey. The second you said that, I looked up just in time to catch Jim Moore right in the eye, and he was just, you could tell he looked guilty. Yeah. When you said there's people out there that will bet on anything.
Don't get me wrong here. I'm not judging. I will respect people's rights to wager.
Hey, just back to the NFL for a moment. We talked about, where do you think Cam lands? Is there an obvious spot for him? And do you like the idea of Phillip Rivers with the Indianapolis Colts, at least for a year?
I think he's okay in Indianapolis. They need a starting quarterback. They've got a good defense. They've got a good running game. So, I mean, he's not going to have to throw for 4,000 yards, I think, which is good because I don't think he can do that without throwing a bunch of interceptions. I don't know where Cam lands. Cam brings a lot of baggage with him. You know, he's got injury issues. He's got he makes some big errors in key situations. And he seems a little strange, right? He seems a little strange with the outfits and the costumes and all that stuff. You know, I know the NBA is a fashion show these days, but Cam overdoes it sometimes. Doesn't he wear shorts and stuff sometimes? And
yeah,
I just, you know, if you're going to say we're going to make you our quarterback and we're going to have you run our team, and there's some baggage there, so you're going to have to decide. You have to find out what he really wants, what makes him go, and what he's going to feel. You know, is he going to be the guy who's going to be able to handle this for you? I don't know where he lands. I mean, does he go to San Diego? Does he go? I don't know. I don't know where he's going to be.
He's also got that weird little, his own little alphabet that he has with these weird symbols and stuff.
Yeah, that he tweets in.
He calls it drip or something like that.
Yeah, that's what
like
I mean. It's like don't call that kind of crazy attention to yourself. You know, wide receivers do that kind of stuff, okay? Not quarterbacks.
Yep.
Michael, great stuff as always.
By the way, I mentioned the middle-aged decathlon. You know what that is?
No.
Jumping to conclusions, stretching the truth, and running to the bathroom. those are three of the events.
Well, when you put it like that, you realize how many competitors there are.
It's
interesting.
A very crowded field.
It is. My goodness. He is El Hombre. You can follow him on Twitter at Daily Hombre. At Daily Hombre. I would imagine more people might start interacting with you on Twitter if they're locked inside and, you know what, they run out of things to do. Hey, let's see what El Hombre is up to. So
there's some creative stuff being done out there. I just saw a video. A guy had taken a sock puppet.
Yep.
And he put it by the window and started eating the cars. That was inspired.
Dave and I were watching that yesterday.
Watching it, man.
We kept looking at it throughout the segment.
Love that stuff.
You're drawn to it. It said like day four of the quarantine. Like this is what they've been reduced to.
Yeah, just wait till day 24. You're going to see guys with headbands on and, you know, doing sweat lodges in their powder rooms. It's going to be crazy.
Oh my goodness. Well, we will do this again next week, Michael.
Okay, so long, suckers.
El Hombre is brought to you by LoanEstimateReview.com.
That was a swish.
It's a little bit nicer, so long, suckers. Like, he knows it's a time of need in this world right now. We could bring people
together. He meant suckers in the nicest way.
It wasn't mean.
The best way. All right, good stuff from El Hombre. Meanwhile, are you nervous at all about the Seahawks' lack of movement so far in free agency? Not much happening in the way of bringing in new blood. We'll talk about that next. It's Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It's weird looking at some of these Photoshop pictures of Tom Brady in a Tampa Bay uniform.
Yeah.
Doesn't that just look odd to you?
It really does. You're used to seeing him in the red, white, and blue. But, yeah, and El Hombre, El Diablo, yeah. I almost called him. Yeah, he was talking about the creamsicle. Remember the old Buccaneer uniforms?
Yeah.
That look like a orange creamsicle?
The originals, yeah.
I like those.
Is that Steve Young wore that, right?
Yeah, Steve Young. Who's the other quarterback that was there that I'm... Doug Williams.
Doug Williams.
Out there.
Doug Williams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super Bowl.
They came in the league same year as the Seahawks.
Hardy Nickerson playing those?
He did. He started off with the Steelers and then played there. He was a good linebacker. But yeah, it's. I think it's going to be fun. That's a great story to me. I mean, I'm always looking for a story outside of, you know, the Seahawks and who I want to watch. And that's a good one because Tampa Bay, Like I said, I love watching their linebackers. They're really good. And that's not even including Shaq Barrett, who's really more of an edge guy. But, yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if he can put them in the race. It's a much more difficult division that he's going into.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, as opposed to probably the worst. AFC East has been so bad. Now, you could say that's because the Patriots have been so good. Certainly, that's part of it. But still, it's always been kind of a cakewalk in the AFC East.
So, how are we feeling about the Seahawks' lack of action to this point? Now, there's been action in terms of placing the tenders on certain guys, the Joey Hunts and people like that, and David Moore, and you know they basically they've lost guys. They haven't really brought in new blood. There's nobody new here outside of Greg Olsen, but it looks like you've lost Quentin Jefferson. In case you missed that earlier, he sent out a tweet saying it's been real Seattle, and sounds like he's on his way out the door.
Rappaport saying it's the Bills.
Oh, he's going to the Bills?
Yes.
Okay.
I hope he gets a crap ton of money.
Yeah.
Go get him. And if he's going to leave, because he's a great guy, and he was a really good player for this team. He's just one of those glue guys that is just a solid contributor. He's not super flashy. What, do you have 3.5 sacks last year, 2.5? Mm-hmm. Something like that. But he's just been a
kind of an everything guy.
Yep.
Just a little bit of everything.
Great
so
piece.
He's gone. You did re-sign Jarran Reed. But he was here last year. Just into something new. George Fant is gone. He signs a $30 million deal.
Luke Wilson's back.
Yeah. I mean, it's
as much as you love Luke Wilson, you didn't really think he was going to come back this year. But it must be because they're concerned about Greg Olsen and Disley with some injury concerns there.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I don't hate that he's back by any stretch. But do you feel like, oh, now they're better? Now they've taken a step. I mean, they haven't done anything yet in terms of making themselves better. They're trying to piece together a bit of what they had last year. And I think they're going to make some moves, and I assume Clowney will be the move. Basically everybody we looked at as an option outside of Clowney is falling off the board. Now, maybe they'll work a trade for Matthew Judon. That's the word, is they're talking. Maybe something happens there. Maybe Yannick Ngakoue still is a possibility. Maybe Fowler is a possibility. But a lot of those guys, the Vic Beasleys, Armsteads, all those guys, those are done deals. So,
no, you're right. I'm just looking at Fowler. He's still out there. Marcus Golden, 10 sacks with the Giants last year. But yeah, you're kind of getting the B teamers here instead of the A teamers.
Would you call them
pass
the old
rushing?
The old Seahawks
well,
are
the
still
old
out
Seahawks
there.
Are still out there with Irvin and Bennett. But it just leads you to believe, or makes you hope to believe anyway, that Clowney is their plan A at this point. And the longer it goes, it seems like it's even better for the Seahawks.
But they need more than him. You had him last year. You need more than him. You need more than Reed. You got to add that wasn't good enough last year having those two guys there. And maybe you get a different version of Reed because he's there the whole season. So maybe he makes up for it. And you hope these other guys they've gotten, LJ Collier and Rasheem Green and Puna Ford, all take the next step. But you still haven't brought in anything new. You haven't added to what was missing last year.
Well, I'm sure we're going to hear something by tomorrow, or at least by the end of this week. And it was Josina Anderson from ESPN saying that it might be days with Clowney. So as much as we want to know what's going to go on with Jadeveon Clowney, where he's going to end up, hopefully here in Seattle, you just probably are going to have to wait until Thursday or Friday for that.
Well, it officially starts tomorrow at 4 p.m., right? Free agency?
Yeah.
Officially. So,
yeah.
And we're hearing, all of these things that are technically unofficial, but so, maybe tomorrow they come out with a splash, but it'll be something surprising like trading for one of these, franchise guys, whether it's Judon or Ngakoue. I feel like Judon's in a 3-4 and he's more of an outside linebacker type from what we saw of him when he came and played here, but maybe it's something like that. So, I mean, they're just very tight-lipped. You don't hear a lot of rumors about what they're doing and I think they run probably one of the tighter ships in the NFL. And so, I think we're going to be surprised. But I also think that there is going to be a lot reliant on the guys that they do have improving, because they do have some young guys that, you just ran through the list there that they're expecting a little bit more out of.
Hey, Dave, do you agree with Clayton talking about that Clowney would rather be in a 4-3 defense than a 3-4? Because I sit there and I just kind of take it as gospel. Well, John's saying that, so it must be true. And yet, wasn't Houston a 3-4 defense?
Yeah.
And he had better numbers there than he had here this year.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the sacks. But as far as, just playing, I'm not so sure if he – every play, if you look at against the run and all of the, you know, passes knocked down and everything. He was so active last year. But, yeah, I get the sense from him. I hate it when they drop him back into coverage. I don't like the zone blitzes. I mean, I don't think that the trade-off is that it's a surprise and that you're going to bring a linebacker and drop a D lineman. And I feel like that trade-off isn't enough to overcome the fact that you're dropping a D lineman back into coverage. I mean, anytime you drop Clowney back into coverage, I just think it's a waste of resources, you know. So, but I feel like he much rather, he's one of those guys like Bruce Irvin that he'd rather have his hand in the dirt rushing off the edge every time. And really, your only job is you got to make sure you turn any running play back in. But mostly what you're concentrating on is your pass rush, you know, and your moves. You know, I got him with a rip and a swim. This time I'm going to spin, you know, and you set those guys up on the edge and you consistently come off the edge and set those tackles up with a bunch of different moves. And I feel like that's what he would want to concentrate on the most and what he's best at. So, but yeah, I get the feeling that he's going to end up here. And as far as whether they bring somebody else in or not, that's going to be the big question. You know,
do you agree? You feel like they have to, or are you more confident in the young guys taking that next step?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of 50-50, you know. I mean, I feel like it wouldn't be the end of the world if they didn't bring somebody in, but I would like to see them bring in a guy like Fowler, who is a good off the edge guy, you know, and whether or not that fits in the salary cap or not. But yeah, I would just be very shocked if at this point they don't have some kind of a deal for Clowney by the end of the week.
Well, and as the month goes on with Reed's contract, and then if you do get Clowney, then you're going to be not have as much money up against the cap. And so we might hear the things we were talking about before with Britt's contract and KJ's contract.
Restructuring, yeah.
And Dixon being released. So we're going to end up getting some more news out of the Seahawks here.
All right. Well, outside of the Seahawks, there's a lot of news in free agencies centering around the quarterbacks. We'll bring you up to speed on what's going on there. That's coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Keeping you up to speed on what's going on out there, I'm looking at a tweet from Tom Pelissero right now that says the Seahawks are signing former Steelers offensive lineman B.J. Finney to a two-year, $8 million deal. Source said, versatile interior player who has 13 career starts. I'm not familiar with him.
B.J. Finney. Never heard of him.
I've never heard that name. Huh? But, all right.
Versatile interior player.
Do we have another? According to Pelissero.
Yapati's a free agent, so maybe you could take over there, although you got Phil Haynes, Jamarco Jones as possibilities, too.
Well, I'll have to brush up on him in case Clayton calls me tomorrow and says,
so, B.J. Finney, what do you think?
Yeah, I never heard of him, John. Who was the guy? T.J. Carey, I think it was.
Is that who it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, so there's one name that wasn't part of the equation to this point. We just got done talking about what they haven't done to this point. And according to Pelissero, they have spent $8 million on an offensive lineman. So
says he's a center.
Yeah, he's listed as a center, but they said he's versatile. 6'4", 318. Anybody know where he went to college?
He's a Wildcat. I do, just because I saw it. So he played with Tyler Lockett then.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 28 years old. All right. He was not a starter. He started 13 games. Marquise Pouncey was their guy, right?
We should get Big Voice guy on this. This is breaking news right here. Seahawks signed B.J. Finney.
Now Seahawks dip their toe in the free agent market. B.J. Finney, now a member of the squad. Yeah, it's. I don't know how many people are going to be excited about that. I don't know. I wonder if this is something in the way of a sign with Justin Britt. Is this a? The tweet said he's versatile, so maybe they look at him as a guard. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Man.
I'm looking at the depth chart for the Steelers, and he was the backup center. So to Pouncey. So there you go.
Yeah, Wikipedia anyway. I'm not really seeing anything on him in 2019, but it says he entered the 2018 season as a backup guard. He played in all 16 games. He started two at right guard in place of an injured David DeCastro, and we know that name very well. He's
to Bellevue High.
Bellevue and Stanford.
Stanford, yep. Well, anyway, again, they're not making these big splashy moves right now, but that doesn't mean that they don't have something in the works. I'm really interested also to see what goes on with Effetti. Because now that George Fant gets signed for $10 million a year, or as John said, 9.7, whatever. I mean, that...
Way off.
Yeah, I was way off. But it's just... It's very very strange that happened, and it's, I think, indicative of what the market's going to be like for offensive tackles. So we'll see what happens there with him. And, you know, he scoffed also. We talked earlier about Jaron Reed scoffed at somebody saying that he should, what, get $10 million?
Yeah.
And he scoffed at that, 11.5. So I don't know what Effetti was upset about. He was with our guy Jeff Schwartz on Twitter.
Yeah, that was sort of a three-way argument with Schwartz and Joe Fan.
Right.
Where the funny thing is he got upset about one, Joe Fan just tweeted a Pro Football Focus thing that says, here's what the range they expect him to be paid in. He offered no opinion on it, just said, here's what Pro Football Focus thinks of him. And then Schwartz was saying, well, regardless, he's going to get paid. And then Effetti took offense to it, started taking shots at Schwartz and saying he's riding his brother's coattails and blah, blah, blah. Just got really sideways over the whole thing, which didn't really make sense when you talk it through. But all right. So, yeah. But I would imagine he's in line based on the numbers we're seeing out there for people.
Well, if Conklin, another right tackle, got, what do you get, $14 million a year, I think, from the Browns, and he played at Tennessee last year. And so if you look at Effetti and you see what George Fant got getting $10 million, you'd think that Effetti would probably be in the, what, $11 to $12 million range?
Yeah. Fant has not been a starter. You've seen very little of him as a true offensive lineman.
Right.
And he got $10 million a year. So, yeah, a guy who's played his whole career, missed very little time. He's had his issues with penalties and, you know, like any offensive lineman, he's, you know, he'll get blown up every now and then. But he's been there. I just see an offensive line coach looking at him saying, I can work with that.
Yeah.
I can mold him into, you know, something for my system, whoever that may be. Maybe it'll be Tom Cable.
Well,
who knows?
And just because he, you know, wasn't lined up as tackle, I mean, he's still, once the play starts, you're blocking, right? And, you know, he was out there lined up as a tight end a lot of times. Sometimes he'd, I don't know, they'd put him in motion every once in a while, or he'd be backed up off the ball, but it's still the same thing. Remember last year going into the season, everybody was talking about how many passes they're going to throw to him. Ended up being one. And, you know, it would have been a catch if it was in college rules, because he got 1 foot in, so he claimed. Anyway, so, but yeah, we're going to miss George. He's just a great story, and wish him all the success. I mean, he's going to the Jets.
Is there anybody upset that they didn't pony up that money for him?
I don't think so.
I'm not. I like George Fant too, and I think he's versatile. He's a guy who could do different things, but if they would have signed him for $30 million, I would have thought, what in the heck are they doing?
The Jets are getting killed on that one. Yeah, I mean, Pro Football Focus rated it a poor trade or a poor deal for the Jets, and we'll see, though. I mean, he was supposed to be the starting left tackle here 2 years ago until he tore his ACL in the preseason.
But again, you know, Pro Football Focus is based on the past, right? And I don't know exactly what they're looking at. I mean, the guy who's evaluating him could be a maniac, you know? So, I mean...
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of maniacs on the staff there.
Maybe. I mean, but I mean, George Fant played. He played a lot, man. I mean, there's a lot of times where he was like a third to 40% of the snaps for a game. I'm just looking at one I picked randomly.
Always eligible.
Week 12. Yeah, he has to do the. He doesn't have to do this anymore, where he rubs the front of his.
I love that picture of. There was a picture on Twitter of a guy wearing a number 74 jersey in the stands, and on the nameplate it just said eligible.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's good.
It was awesome. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'm. We'll see what Jefferson signed for. We haven't seen any numbers, just seeing it's a 2-year deal with the Bills, but I haven't seen any numbers.
What would you guess? 6, 7?
Yeah, something like that.
Probably
that's probably right. And that's kind of what I don't know if maybe I didn't ask the question properly to El Diablo. But, you know, the sticker shock thing, what I was getting at is like every year you see these numbers and you're like, what? $10 million a year for Fant? You know, $11 million for you know, Tyler Lockett last year. And then once you see all the other numbers coming in and saying, well, this is the going rate, you know, this is market. It's not like, I mean, we might think right now that the teams are overpaying for guys, but once all the numbers start to come in, I mean, if all of a sudden Effetti gets like, what, 14 or something like that, I don't know, 13, you know, maybe you'll go, wow, that George Fant deal looked pretty good considering he's really athletic and, you know, he played a good amount of the snaps. And like you said, some offensive linemen offensive coach, line coach, like Cable, whatever, saw something in him, go, man, this guy's got great feet. I can work with him, right, turn him into a starting tackle. So we'll see what happens as the days go on. But I just think early on, I do the same thing. I overreact. I'm like, oh, look at this backup linebacker. He's getting $7 million a year.
Yeah, you're looking at Kevin Pierre-Lewis.
You got 3.5. Yeah, and I'm like, wow. Yeah, but, I mean, that's just the way it's going this year. And, you know, the numbers go up with the cap every year.
All right, coming up next, one of my all-time favorite segments on this show. It is What We Learned, and it's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
You learn something every day on this program, and today is no different, Jim.
What did we learn today, Maura?
We learned that you, Jim, don't defer to Dave for football knowledge.
Kind of like in the early days of Danny, Dave, and Moore, when you would ask Danny if a certain player could play linebacker in the league and not ask me.
You wouldn't ask the guy that played linebacker
in
the league?
Oh, yeah, there were times I did that. Yeah, it's like, you know, I did play that position.
Yeah, Dave, your 9 years were cute. Danny, what do you think?
Yeah, well, and Danny's good. He's very good. I can see why you went to him. I really can.
I think you defer to Danny. That's good.
Yeah.
Why is that, Jim?
I didn't do it intentionally. I think it was just because Danny was sitting next to me. And
he was just closer. You didn't have to yell
like,
as loud.
Oh, Dave's a jerk. I'm not going to ask him that linebacker question.
No, you know what it was? Is I was sitting in the other seat over there.
Oh.
And so my theory was that a lot of times that Jim couldn't see me, and therefore I wasn't there. So I tried going to the other side where I'm like, now he can see
me. Oh, you were sitting to the left of him before? Oh.
Right. The key part of what Dave said today, though, was he said the early days of Danny, Dave,
and Moore. You cut that out after a while.
What?
Yeah. You said the early days when I was doing that, and then as we moved along there, I directed all football questions.
Well, yeah. Well, no, you did not.
Toward Dave, because Danny.
No, you did not.
What a bunch of crap. He calls himself a Seahawks insider, you know?
Well, that's
why are you looking at me like that?
I wasn't looking at you.
I love when he mocks things. He's got such disdain in his voice. No. Seahawks insider.
No, he does a good job.
He would say that to Danny quite a bit. Be like, yeah, well, you're supposed to be the insider, you know, asking questions like that. Yeah, that was, we were the early days. We were hashing it out back then.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Figuring it out.
I just thought Jim was just clueless.
Yeah. Well, there are times you're correct about that.
It appears you may have been right.
Yeah.
What else did we learn?
We learned what the term icon source means.
This is not a football source. It's a icon source. It is somebody in Tom's stratosphere that knows Tom, that is a famous person. And he says Tampa. That's what he's telling me.
Why did I play
I like
that?
The second he said icon
I'm gonna
source.
Start saying I have
Jim,
icon
like.
Source.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were actually talking.
I left the last part in there because Jim said, I'm going to start saying I have an icon source.
Okay. I'm sorry. I trampled all over it. But I just thought it was funny because the second he said that, I saw Jim like, oh, jeez, like throw his arms up in disgust or something.
Yeah, who's ever said that in the past? An icon source.
Is this kind of like single high safety?
I think so.
You know?
An icon. So how often has he been right?
Well, why didn't the icon source tell him this a week ago? Everybody was on Tampa today. Mike Greenberg was talking Tampa yesterday. Jay Keeps was talking Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah. And then somebody tweeted out a collage of all of his tweets about Tom Brady. And one tweet, he's got him going to the Colts. And another tweet, he's talking about the Cowboys. Another tweet, he's talking about he's got every team covered so he can go, see, I told you.
Do you think, like, Jay Keeps probably gets texts from Russell? And then, you know, Russ probably is talking to Brady or something, and he says, yeah, I'm probably going to go to Tampa Bay, bro, you know, but don't say anything, you know. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, I don't know, but maybe he's going to go to Tampa Bay.
I don't think he's ever been right. He had all that nonsense about Russell going to New York because Ciara wanted to, you know, be in that market for her music career, and how'd that turn out?
Wait, are you talking about Jake Heaps right now?
No, I'm talking about Colin Cowherd. Icon source.
Well, far be it from me to question another broadcaster when he's wrong. So
I know you'd never do such a thing.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that. Like Stephen A. Smith.
Do you think it was Giselle? Giselle the icon source?
Maybe.
That's
maybe.
Yeah, be a good one. Because I heard they were making out on the beach the other day.
Yeah. They're not scared of this virus thing.
No cares in the world.
Yeah. It's got to be nice to be rich and beautiful. Yeah. What else did we learn?
We learned about teepee.
Can we talk about that?
Why toilet paper?
Why is that the one? Because we were just talking like 150, 170 years ago. Did they have toilet paper?
When no,
was
just giant paper? Leaves.
Yeah, was it a leaf?
Did you Lots of trees.
Maybe in the more rural areas, they're being more creative. But at least in the city, they want that TP.
Still don't get
giant,
it.
Giant leaves. So you're protecting your maple trees.
Maple leaves. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't have any like a fir tree, like the evergreens.
No.
Right? That's a rough ride there. Yeah. You go with the broadleaf. The broadleaf. Miley was great.
Yeah, she did a good job.
The way she explained things, I thought, made everybody feel kind of calm and, you know, talking
DJ
about
DJ said that too.
Did you? Yeah.
Felt less panicked after she talked to
right.
us.
Maybe we could put her on loudspeaker at Costco and everybody could chill out. Because watching that video of them attacking that pallet of toilet paper is ridiculous.
Somebody, it's not like this causes that reaction in people, right?
No.
You know that you need a bunch of toilet paper?
Everyone's just worried they're going to get trapped without it.
Why is that the one thing?
I think it just became a thing and everybody goes, oh, well, I better get mine then.
Yeah, I think so too. I think everybody panic.
Well, you were saying if worse comes to worse, you use rags or towels or...
Or a shower.
What did they used to do? Yeah. You know, yeah. I wonder if bidet sales are going up.
Yeah, I saw that they were going up. Yeah. I don't know about in England, they were going way up.
Yeah.
I've been interested in those for a while, Dave.
Bidet?
Yeah.
My dad had one growing
That's
up.
So random.
But you still, you know what, Maura, have we talked too much about poop on this show for your liking? It seems to come up a lot.
It's a popular topic. Here.
I'm just doing more than my share.
I just always, like, Dave talks about it enough that I'm always like, is your stomach okay? Do you need to go to the doctor or no?
No, it's only happened once in the last decade.
That's what I was asking about the lady that grabbed two of those 36 packs. Are you okay? What are you eating for dinner? Why would you need 72 rolls?
Yeah,
goodness.
I think
the old woman that lives in a shoe with a lot of kids.
I know. She didn't look that old. She had some energy. She was ripping apart that pallet.
What about the tweet about Philip Rivers' kids?
Oh, yeah. Once they said that you're not supposed to have a gathering of more than 10 people now, someone said Philip Rivers is going to have to get rid of one of his kids.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Technically.
Or the wife.
It's a crowd.
Somebody's got to go.
Yeah.
Sorry. Those are the rules.
Hey, as the dad, I know this. You know this, Jim. It would be you.
It'd be
Philip Rivers. It'd be the dad. The dad always gets screwed.
Yeah. Well,
always. You know, all I want is the big piece of chicken. And
that's it.
Just never get it. Just never do.
Well, you know what he has?
You're always last.
He has a luxury vehicle that he was using to travel from San Diego to L.A.
Yeah.
That's got like a big screen in it. It's pretty plush. He could probably just hang out in there.
That's true.
Time.
Yeah. Oh. Did he have somebody driving him back and forth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was watching film and...
Wow. I bet he's got toilet paper in there too.
I thought that was cool though. He was still loyal to San Diego. He didn't really want to see the Chargers leave.
Yeah.
So.
Did we learn anything else?
We learned that Jim would bet on anything.
I'm hope that people don't go to that level to get their bet on. But I have a friend who used to, when he used to bartend, he'd bartend on Sunday nights. They'd close the bar at midnight. He'd get home at 5 o'clock. I said, "What the heck were you doing?" He said, "Oh, we were flipping coins for money." They would just bet on whether it's heads or tails.
Oh my God!
So I mean, there are people out there that will bet on anything. So Evidently, that's what they're going to bet on.
Yeah, the guy that just
asked
you a question.
Is there something wrong with that?
The guy that just asked you that question is one of those people.
What?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying if people are going to bet on a flip of the coin, they're sure as heck going to try to say what the over under on the temperature is in Topeka.
Admit it, you're tempted to bet on the weather.
Nah. I guarantee those guys flipping coins, though, after closing time. I bet they had a good time.
Yeah, they probably did. But
have you ever done that? What is it when you throw a quarter and you try and get it as close to the wall as you can? Yeah.
You get a leaner.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more. But I'd rather bet on the weather than flipping coins. That is just boring. Why not, like, play a game? We used to do cribbage. You ever do that? You do, like, a quarter a game, penny a point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Skunk, double skunk.
If you need. Jim, we'll bring a board in, and if you need to get your gambling fix on,
We better do it tomorrow.
No Diablos. Yeah, I know.
Plus, the weather we're could be problematic, right? Because if you're looking, what's your source?
Well, what are you going to do, though, all day long? Like, if you bet the over on it being 83 degrees in Jacksonville, are you going to just, like, have the Weather Channel app up all day?
And, well, is it?
Oh, it's 79 at noon. It's going to, yeah. It
come on, son. Come on, son.
It doesn't have that competitive level, no. I don't think.
I would think there'd be a fair amount of corruption, too. Like getting reliable readings and
yeah, that's
whatnot.
What I'm saying.
You well, got my thermometer says 79.
My app says this. Your app says that. Who's right?
It's probably based on whatever it is at the airport. Yeah. Who knows?
Did we learn anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All right, that does it for us. I want to thank our guest today, John Clayton, and El Hombre Michael Bradley, who was with us. If you missed anything from today's show, head to the podcast page at 710sports.com. Just click the podcast button, then click on our picture. Everything you missed each and every day is right there waiting for you. We're back tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You think I'd have any chance with Kyle Whittingham in a dark alley?
Nope.